Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Toldos. What an exciting and amazing Parsha to read. We open up with our introduction to Yaakov and Esav. And of course, Yitzchak and Rivka have their difficulties having children, and then they ultimately have these twins. And when they finally do, Esav is the Bechor. And at some point, there is a debate, and Esav sells the Bechora. And when he does so, he begins with a certain understanding. I'm going to die. What good is the Bechorah for me? And Rashi explains that Esav asked Yaakov to explain the responsibilities of being a Bechor to him. And when he heard of all the rules and the warnings, including those that were punishable by death, Esav said that if I'm going to die from every single time I do something, then why should I do it? Why do I need the Bechorah? Just to use it as a stumbling block. Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, noted that based on this Rashi, we understand why Esav hated the Bechorah. The Pasuk says, Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechorah. Esav despised the Bechorah. He was all, Rangatani was so busy in his head, worried about what he was going to do it wrong. But, says Reb Moshe Feinstein, that Esav's Hashkafa was all wrong. We don't enter the realm of being Ovdei Hashem because of the responsibilities and the punishments. We don't serve Hashem out of the fear of punishment. We serve Hashem because we have a desire to cling to Hashem and to cling to His will. And one who chooses not to do so is showing that despite the Torah opportunity, this person would rather opt out. And that, of course, says Reb Moshe, is a potentially a bizayon ha-Torah, that is a situation where a person winds up saying that he or she despises the Torah the way that Esav did. This has a strong impact on the mindset of people who are perfectionistic. If I can't do it perfect, I'd rather not do it at all. And we all have different aspects of that bout. So what the episode of Esav tells us, Levayivez Esav es ha-Bechor, says Reb Moshe, is that we're not allowed to go that route. We have a responsibility to ourselves and to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to understand that while HaKadosh Baruch Hu has things that He wants from us, but more importantly, we have to keep trying. We can't just walk away and say, forget about it, or we're no better than Esav. There was a famine, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yitzchak Avinu, Al Teirid Mitzrayma, don't go down to Mitzrayim. Shchon ba'aretz asher omar eilecha. Live in the land where I told you. And the Brisker Rav famously notes, and we've quoted this many, many times in the past, that Yitzchak Avinu's avoda was that he followed in his father's footsteps. Yitzchak was not the great mechadish. His chiddush was in the non-chiddush chiddush, the idea that as a forefather, he understood that sometimes you have to solidify the steps that were taken beforehand rather than write new ones. However, when it came to going down to Mitzrayim, as Avram Avinu did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him not to go. And the question has to be asked as to why. So Morinu or Rav Shechter Shalita would often remind us that when we think we're doing exactly as our parents did, despite circumstances being different from our parents, then we are indeed differing from our parental practice. Our parents did what they did because in the environment they were in, that was the right thing to do. Yitzchak was not the same as Avram Avinu. So going down to Mitzrayim because that's what Avraham Avinu did would have been wrong. Yitzchak was an Ola Tamima. He wasn't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore, following his father would have been wrong. And doing as his father did would have been a major mistake, says Rav Shechter. And if that's the case, similarly, we too need to realize that when we follow our forefathers in Europe blindly, when the indication is that the practices today that they engaged in then are dangerous, it's also going against the example that the parents set for us. I remember one instance where Shechter was talking to us about the example of Mitzitza Bepeh, where the doctors of the time of our forefathers were convinced that Mitzitza was an ideal, which it is. And Mitzitza Bepeh was the way to do it. But today, where the best knowledge of medical indication is that Mitzitza Bepeh breeds infection, says Rav Shechter, we have a responsibility to follow our forefathers' direction of being ahead of the world, and specifically not create a sakana by doing Mitzitza Bepeh in the same way that Mitzitza was established in order to prevent sakana. We're following our parents, says Rav Shechter, when we try to make sure we take the precautions to make sure that we live life properly with the best of medical intention. That's what they did when the idea of Mitzitza was Mesukan, And that's what we have to do when the idea of Metzitza Bepeh is a danger. And to say otherwise, says Rosh Hashanah, you just can't understand. Anyway, they wind up staying in Gerar. And of course, the Yitzchak does the same thing as his forefather did. And he declares that Rivka Imenu is his sister, not his wife. Vahiki Archu Lo Sham Hayamim. And so it was as the days went on. Vayashkef Avimelech Melech Plishtim Barach Halon. Avimelech looked out the window. And then he saw Vayar Yitzchak Mitzachik as Rivka Yishto. And Rav Shlomo Bloch would often note in the name of the altar of Nevardik, who explained that we learn a lot about the thoughts of a Rasha. Those taiva-based thoughts of a Rasha, despite being rebuffed by Rivka for such a long time, Avimelech didn't allow his desire to abate. He continued to look for an opportunity. Even though it was Archu Lo Sham Hayamim, even though the days went on for a long period, he still was trying to figure out just how he was going to get this woman. That's one of the great lessons we have to learn about our own taivas. We have to realize that as the time goes on, we need to calm ourselves down. Yitzchak, of course, leaves Gerar and he starts dealing with the wells. And Yitzchak digs the wells that were there at the time of his father. And the plishtim filled them in after Avram Avinu died. So what does Yitzchak do? He calls the Be'eros by the same names that his forefather, that his father Avraham Avinu did. So of course the Medrash over here explains that the seven wells that Yitzchak dug parallel the seven times in Kohelis that we say Havel Havolim, that the word Havel is mentioned in Kohelis. And Rav Gifter Zatzal, the late great Cleveland Tells Rosh Yeshiva, used to explain that Havel is something that's useless and purposeless. Everywhere that Yitzchak went, Yitzchak did the opposite of Hevel. He tried to create purpose, and by extension, the purpose of Kedusha. However, when the environment didn't allow his attempts to be successful, which caused fights about who owned the rights, then of course we understand why there was a battle. That is to say, the Plishtim, every time Yitzchak dug something, he created a new attempt. He created an essence of Kedusha. The Plishtim came in and they said, no, that's ours. Lanu Amayim. We have the rights to that. Sometimes we have to realize that when we're trying to create a Kedusha, we have to try to figure out whose they are and whose they aren't. And those who scream that it's mine and it's mine and it's mine and don't work together. So then, of course, that leads to Estima Sabair. Just something to think about as we walk through life trying to create Kedusha. When Esav turns 40 years old, Vayikach Isha as Yehudis Bas Be'eri Achiti Bas Basmas Bas Elon Achiti. It's so interesting that both Yehudis and Basmas come from Chet, from B'nai Chet. And they have such from names, Basmas. She's supposed to smell good, Yehudis, she's a Jewish. Even their father's names, Be'eri, Elon, these give names that give rise to the understanding that there's some sort of good stuff going over there. So Rav Yosef Carmel Shalita, the famous Rosh Kolol of Eretz Chemda, he notes the ironic frum-sounding names of these women, these two women. Rav Carmel even explains that perhaps due to their Chiti upbringing, and of course Avram lived among the Chiti, that they adopted this outward expression of piety, hence the names that are often associated with good smell and spirituality. However, sometimes we need to be careful. We have to remember not to only look at an outward expression, but also at what's inside. And this is what caused Moras Ruach LeYitzchak LeRivka. We need to be wise to that, so that we don't fall into that status. We understand that in that context, that Yitzchak goes ahead and asks Esav to go ahead and bring him to Tzeda. So Rivka goes ahead and she turns to Yaakov and she says that she's going to take the Bigdei Esav Benaha Gadol Asheri Taba Bayis. She takes the clothing of Esav, her older son, which were with her in the home. Now, why is Esav referred to as the big son, Benah HaGadol? He was born a few minutes before Yaakov. It seems sort of weird. So Rav Shimon Schwab comments, and he notes that in regard to the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, Esav was much bigger than Yaakov. He even wore special clothes to serve Yitzchak, and thus the Torah is highlighting to us that the fact that this was his big mitzvah, and after all, in the end, all of Esav's control over all of us throughout all the generations has been because of his fastidiousness in keeping to this mitzvah. If you become a gadol in a mitzvah, then that becomes your identification, and you can serve for many, many years to come. And so therefore we have to pay attention to that and take advantage when we get those opportunities. Yaakov does, though, get the brachos. And the pasuk tells us, "Yitein lachar lo kimi tala shamayim mishmanei haaretz verov dagon v'sirosh." Hashem should give you from the dew of the heavens and the fat of the land. And Chazal already tell us, tala shamayim, that refers to Mikra. Mishmanei haaretz refers to Mishnah. Rov Dagon to the Gemara. Tirosh, that refers to Agadata. Now at this point, Yitzchak thought he's giving the bracha to Esav. So why does Esav need Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, and Agada? What was he supposed to do with all that stuff? So Rav Simcha Wasserman Zecher Tzadok Levracha explained that the Pasuk and the Bracha refer also to material things. That's understood, as the simple interpretation of the Pasuk implies. It refers to dew and the fat of the land and the grain and the tirosh and the wine. That's obvious. But the Pasuk is also showing us the spiritual source of dew is Mikra. The spiritual source of the fat of the land is the study of Mishnah. Esav only wanted to understand this on the surface level. But Yaakov wanted the reason behind things. He wanted the Mikra, the Mishnah, the Talmud, and the Agadata. And thus he deserved the Shorish as well. Now we can do the same thing in our lives as well. We can look at this world on a very surface level, or we can understand and appreciate the tremendous spiritual value of the things behind what we see and gain even more from the world around us. We have that choice. Are we going to achieve it? Finally, in the Haftorah, we read from the book of Malachi, and we're told, Ben Yechavirah ve'eved Adonav, a son will honor his father, and a servant will honor his master. Now, how does the pasuk begin with a kavod, Ben Yechavirah? But then the pasuk goes on to say, Aye Morai, where is my Mora? Where is my Yira? How do we start with kavod and end with Mora? Now, we know that a son has an obligation for Mora as well as kavod. And we understand, too, that the servants have an obligatory action of kavod, but the obligatory actions of kavod are done miyira. So what's the idea over here of putting out the ben and the evet? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal notes that there's a difference between kibud avoim and kvod shamayim. Kibud is an active. It references the activities that have to be done, even if the activities are motivated by yira. Kvod, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo, is a reference to motivation. Kuchem Chayavim Bichvodi, you're all obligated in my Kvod. And if a person understands that, a person can go far. We go through life doing actions of Kvod, even though sometimes we don't always respect the people. That is a responsibility to do so. Kvod HaMalchus is something that comes into it. Kvod HaMalchus. But we have to understand internally what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us is not only the external, but the internal as well. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us the opportunity to be not only mechabit him from behind the veil, but to be able to see the gilui kvod shechina and kvod malchuso aleinu mehira as we get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, a Shabbat Shalom to all.